This past weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at annual conference, our theme was Reach Out. 2 years ago, when we began the Healthy Church Initiative as a conference, the first year our theme was Gear Up. Gear up for ministry. Gear up. Get ready for the journey. Last year our theme was Reach In. Reach in to the people within the church. Reach in to the people and empower them and strengthen them for ministry, so that this year we can celebrate what we're calling Reach Out. Reach out. Reach out to the people of our communities, outside of our church, outside of our families, and so forth. We were challenged as churches, as clergy and laity, to reach out to those in our community with the love of Christ. How? By being reflectors of Christ's love. Bishop even gave us those little reflectors on the way out the door, little bicycle reflectors that we could put on our shirt or whatever. And the question I want to pose to not just you, but to myself as well this morning is, how can we, the church, how can Bethel Church reach out to those, both within our own church and outside and into our community, those who are walking in spiritual darkness, and reflect the light that shines clear and far to show them the way? How can we do that? What must we do? The oil company is using something called Top Kill. I'm suggesting today that we approach it differently, that we approach it with life, not death, that we approach it with something I'm calling Top Life, so that we too can stem the flow of some of those personal needs that you may have, or someone that you know may have, that might be struggling with. The Top Life solution can be found only in the one who called himself the light of the world. And as followers of the light, followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be lights, reflecting that light of Christ into the world. But how? How do we do this? How do we reflect the light of Christ to shut off the flow of that ugly stuff that comes from within us? I want to offer three things this morning. And last night, or actually all week, I've been struggling with trying to find some deep theological meaning and come up with something really kind of cool and something unique, maybe something we've not heard before, a new learning, a new teaching, or something that could really help us connect. But you know what? God spoke to me last night about 11:30. Yeah, 11:30. This sermon's not that old, folks. He said, "You big dummy, it's so simple. It's so simple. Don't make it more complicated than it already is. Get back to basics. Get back to the essentials of our relationship. To stem the flow of that stuff, we've got to get back into the Word of God. We have got to read our Bibles, folks. Let me ask you a question. How much time are you spending in God's Word? Now, I'm not looking for confessions this morning. You know, it's that book on your nightstand that's got a little bit of dust on top of it. It's that book that you got in Sunday school. It's that good book, the old folks call it. Yeah, that one right there. That book that we say that we believe in, that book that is full of God's promises, that's full of God, Jesus' teachings, that's full of the history of our ancestors, the Jews, that is the way and the truth and the life. How much time are we spending in the Word of God? The Bible says in Psalm 119, I'm not going to read the whole Psalm 119, those of you that know your Bibles, it's 150 chapters long. One verse, thy word, and King James Version really works well here, thy word is a what? A light unto my feet and a lamp unto my pathway. The Word of God is our light that shines into the spiritual darkness of our lives. How much time are we spending with those upper rooms that we provide for you every month? How much time are we reading Scripture to find out what God has to say to us? It doesn't take a long time to read Scripture. Just don't try to start at Genesis and read to Revelation in one sitting. It doesn't work. Get a devotional. Spend some time in the Gospels. Start with Matthew. Start with Mark or Luke or John, whatever. Just get into the Word. The key to reflecting the light of Jesus is to know Him by spending time in God's Word. And Jesus is the Logos of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Spend time with Him. The second thing God revealed to me was that we need to spend more time in prayer. Just like Bible reading, which can be read prayerfully, how much time do we spend in prayer? The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Does that mean we walk around like monks all day with, you know, hands together and heads bowed and eyes closed and all that? No. It means to be in an attitude of prayer 24/7, to be thinking prayerfully. And I can assure you that when you have that mindset, God's not going to let you go where you know you need not be going. And doing the things that you need not be doing, and saying the things we need not be saying, because we're in an attitude of prayer. And yes, we do need to make that time to be one-on-one, to go to our prayer closet, to go to that quiet place, to go to the beach or the trees or the park or out in the backyard and have some communion time with God in prayer, fervent prayer. The Word of God, prayer. And finally, get into a small group. Ooh, there's a word we've not heard, a couple of words we've not heard lately. Small groups. How many of you are in an active small group right now? Now, be truthful. An active small group. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 people out of a membership of 950 people. Now, I know they're not all here today to speak for themselves. What's happened to our small group ministry here, folks? When I came here, there were at least a dozen small groups meeting. We got one on Wednesday morning. Carrie Faircloth's got one. I think Jan Lobiondo's in one. Why aren't we in small groups? We've let that slide a little bit. I believe that we stay connected to God by being in fellowship with one another in small groups. Let me tell you something. Worship is great. Preaching is eh. This is not where discipleship takes place. Discipleship takes place in the small group setting. If we're not in a small group, you're not going to grow. You cannot grow eating one meal a week. Are you with me? Try eating one meal a week. This is just the appetizer. Okay? Everybody needs to be in a small group. Every disciple of Jesus Christ needs to be in a small group. If you're not in a small group, get in one. If you don't know where to find one, call me. Maybe God's calling you to be the leader of a small group. Debbie and I have got some plans over the summer to revitalize and to renew and to resurrect, if you will, our small group ministry. I got some plans for you, girl. We've got some plans for small group ministry. And this fall, we're going to get back into small groups. And we're going to empower some people to take on small group ministry so that you and the people of this community can be strengthened through small groups. The Bible says all who believed were together. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Day by day they spent time together in the temple and broke bread in their homes. See, the fellowship wasn't taking place in the temple. It was taking place at home where they broke bread together. Home groups, study groups, small groups, fellowship groups, study groups. Praising God. And here's the best part. Day by day, the Lord added to their numbers. You want to know why membership is slipping in the United Methodist Church? You want to know why worship attendance is down? People aren't in the Word of God. People aren't praying. People aren't in small groups. That's why the numbers are down. That's why we're not hearing good news coming out of the Methodist Church or this church in terms of attendance and membership. I see a lot of empty blue seats here this morning. Why? Why? Let me close with this image of this out-of-control oil well. Can we put the oil well back up there, Todd? We can look at this thing as a metaphor for all of our endless troubles, all of our problems, all of our issues bubbling up and overflowing and ruining not just the ecology, but our very lives. But today I want to challenge you to take a fresh look at that mess and look at it instead through the eyes of faith. Take a good look at it. Look at it through the eyes of faith. When I look at this well, I look at it differently now. There was another well that Jesus met a woman at in John chapter 4, I think. And that he said if she drank from that well, she would never be thirsty again. And he said that the water that he gives has become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Look at that well. Can't you see the abundant, the unlimited, and the blessings of God bubbling up, the unlimited grace and love and forgiveness that God offers us? When we see things through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of Christ, we can look at that and say, God, your love is kind of like that. It just overflows and bubbles up and spreads out. Let the flow, the tide, instead of being a destructive force destroying the environment, think of it as God's love flowing out to everyone, inviting them into a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know I've mixed a couple of my metaphors this morning, and I apologize for that, but I just saw so much in this sermon, light and darkness and wells. We need to shine the light of Christ on this well. We need to shine the light on our issues, our problems, our troubles, both individually and in the church, and spending more time instead in God's Word, spending more time in honest, fervent prayer, and getting connected to a small group. That is how we're going to stem the tide of these messes that we find ourselves in. And I believe that by trusting in God to lead us and by reaching out to those who are hurting, we'll find our way to that other well that's overflowing not with crude oil, but with God's amazing grace. God, we thank you for reminding us of these very simple things. That to stay connected to you, that to overcome all the stuff that we have to deal with, both in our lives, in the church, and in our families, we need to get back into your word. We need to get on our knees in prayer and to get connected with your family in small groups. And Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, we will turn this thing around together as a family, as a church, and to be more intentional in our making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen. Joyce.